it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
All right, welcome back to Buckeye Talk. I'm your host, Steven Means. Nathan and Andrew are off on this pod. The next time you'll hear all three of our voices will be after Saturday's spring game inside Ohio Stadium at noon on Fox. Get the text 614-350-3315. We were out at practice on Friday, the final practice ahead of the spring game. We got a chance to see the full practice ahead of the second day of the coaches' clinic. Not a lot of news things came out of that. The one big thing that did come out of it is Brandon Ennis, who has been limited for the past couple of weeks participating this spring, the five-star wide receiver in his second year, was seen in a walking boot. And so when we asked Ryan Day just about his status for the spring, he didn't say it was anything serious. So maybe you're expecting Brandon Ennis to be back by the time fall camp starts. But at least for now, he was seen in a walking boot, which meant Bryson Rogers got an opportunity to get more opportunities this spring over the last couple of weeks. And I think he's used them to the best of his advantage. But other than that, we're expecting Ohio State to have a decently healthy roster on Saturday when it takes the field, though I don't know how much that matters. Lathan Ransom has been limited for most of the spring, but he wasn't going to play much. Jack and JT didn't really do much at practice on Friday, but also they're not going to do much on Saturday at that game. And really anybody on this team with any significant level of experience, I wouldn't expect to see much of them on Saturday because that's just how things have been running with Ryan Day as his head coach. But get the text, 614-350-3315. We were out there. We were texting information on what we were seeing. All the quarterbacks were just kind of rolling with everybody today and all the wide receivers. Jeremiah Smith also had another Jeremiah Smith moment. So get the text, 614-350-3315. And now we get into what this pod is going to be, and it's brought to you by our texters. It's a rants pod, but it's not really a rants pod. It's more of a, I asked our texters, what is it you want to see from Ohio State in the spring game on Saturday? You've got a team that's brought back a significant amount of experience on both sides of the ball. You've brought in six guys from the transfer portal. You've got a quarterback battle going on. You've got the number one player in the country as a freshman wide receiver who's been making plays all spring. You've been hearing about it and seeing clips about it all spring long. And on Saturday, maybe as some of you are listening to this as you're preparing to watch the spring game, you're going to finally get a chance to see the first version of this Ohio State football team for the 2024 season. I got a good number of rants from guys from anywhere from, of course, people want to know about the quarterbacks. People want to know about Jeremiah Smith. People want to know about the offensive line. Plus, there's just some non-football fun stuff people want to see from the spring game, which I am on board with. We'll get into all of that stuff because the spring game is an exhibition, and it at times it's felt like it's turned more into a let's showcase some things but not get anybody hurt, and maybe there's a way to liven it up, and I think we got some good ideas from our texters. But we'll start here from the 614. I want everybody to remember that this is just a spring game and to not overreact to every little thing. I think that's fair. Nothing you see on Saturday is going to be a finished product. In fact, most of the stuff you're going to see on Saturday, is going to be base level stuff, right? I don't think we're going to see a bunch of exotic blitzes from Jim Knowles. We're not going to see the most sophisticated play calling game plan from Chip Kelly. Guys are going to be all over the place, maybe, you know, going back and forth on rosters. You're going to be seeing different lineups and whatnot. And so I think, I wouldn't say don't overreact, because listen, we're in the business of overreacting sometimes. But I think you take everything with a grain of salt. You almost enjoy the highlights that are going to come out of it. You enjoy the cool moments that are going to come out of it. But if things don't look like the way they should look in a national championship game, I think that's perfectly fine. So I think that's fair. I think that's a fair place to start from the 614. I want everybody to remember that this is just a spring game and to not overreact to every little thing. So let's start getting into some things we might overreact to on Saturday from Anthony and Finley. I have a few things I want to see during the spring game. I'll let you guys decide which ones you want to discuss. Well, Anthony, we're going to discuss all of them because why not? I want to see Devin Brown live up to the hype. If he doesn't full-on outperform Will Howard, I want to see him at least look equal to him. Let's throw some of the quarterback ones in here as well. From the 937, I want to see good QB play, smart decisions, but I expect the defense to be pretty hard to move the ball on. From the 973, Steven for the Spring Game Rants Pod, does Brown outplay Howard? Or does Howard prove why they brought him in as a transfer to be QB1? And from the 925, I want to see whether Will Howard has the accuracy and arm strength to leverage the insanely good receivers he's been given. I think that's probably at the top of everybody's list, is the battle between Will Howard and Devin Brown coming into this game, as Devin Brown, the third-year guy who was in a battle with Kyle McCord last year, and it felt like there was going to be a role for him and maybe that Devin Brown goal line package, but injuries got in the way, and then the first time we maybe were going to get an extended look at Devin Brown in the Cotton Bowl, things got in the way as well, so they bring in Will Howard as a transfer from Kansas State. I think, so far through spring practice, and at least from what we've been able to see, Devin Brown has always gone first in drills, so I am almost assuming Devin Brown is the first quarterback who takes the field on Saturday, but I think with those two, there is an element to this of, who do you walk away more impressed with? And it's not the whole piece of the pie, but it is a big slice of that piece, right? In 2021, it felt like we all left that day thinking this is CJ Stroud's job to lose. In 2018, maybe it was a bit more up in the air, but it felt like at least Dwayne Haskins was in the lead coming out of 2018, and then obviously Joe Burrow leaves and heads to LSU, so he most certainly won that job. But the spring game can sometimes give you at least a feeling of where you think this is headed. And if Devin Brown, who didn't have the opportunity last year because he had a finger injury late in spring practice, so we didn't get a chance to see him in the spring game. It was all Kyle McCord. If it feels like he has the better day, do U.S. fans walk away thinking, oh, he's going to beat out Will Howard? But vice versa, right? Does Will Howard show you some of the reasons why Ryan Day and company went to go get him out of the transfer portal? And do you leave the day feeling like he's in the lead in the situation? Nobody's going to win the job. But I think to some extent, for whatever amount it matters, you can start to win fan perception and how you think this is going to play out by almost making your first public statement as Ohio State starting quarterback, knowing that this is going to go into the fall and continue on with the competition. With that being said, it does feel like there's a third quarterback who's starting to put himself into the mix here, and some of you guys asked me about that. Here's the second part of the 973's rant. Also, does Sands show why he might deserve third string status or show highlights that he could be the starter? From the 440, what if Julian Sands is QB1? What if we all find out Saturday that Julian Sand is QB1? Am I delusional? Maybe, but it sure would spice up the offseason. And then from the 937, I want to see Julian Sand throw the ball because I think he might be the best QB option this year. I am thinking this is a good year as any for a true freshman QB because of the soft schedule to start and what should be a very good ground game. So, there is part of me that's starting to wonder if Julian Sands steals the day. I think that Jeremiah Smith's obviously going to probably steal the show a little bit, and they're going to showcase him a lot. But how often is Julian Sands doing the same thing? And does it feel like they took his black stripe off? We talked about him on the Wednesday pod a little bit, or the Thursday pod. I can't remember which pod it was. We do a lot of pods. But if it feels like Julian Sands is starting to flash that upside, and then the fan base is starting to get around behind that, I am interested in what the next 6 months looks like. I pointed this out earlier this week, and I brought up the Trevor Lawrence example and how Trevor Lawrence didn't necessarily win the job to start the year. It was still a back and forth between him and Kelly Bryant. But how those first four games played out, it felt like it was a pretty foregone conclusion where that battle was headed. I want to throw another example at people that I brought up to somebody else while we were at practice today. Caleb Williams at Oklahoma, right? His first year. He's sitting behind Spencer Rattler. He's backing up Spencer Rattler. And Spencer looked good, but he didn't look great. And then in the middle of the Texas game, big game, by the way, big game, Red River rivalry. In the middle of the Texas game, Spencer Rattler gets pulled for Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams leads a comeback victory for Oklahoma. What if that's the Oregon game, right? These are all hypotheticals, and they're out there hypotheticals in the most hyperbolic situation, of course. But that's what we're talking about here. You're talking about the number one quarterback in the country who transferred in from Alabama after Nick Saban decided to retire. And he has showed up here and very quickly turned heads in a way that maybe this kid doesn't have to wait. It doesn't mean he's going to win the job this year. And if he doesn't win the job, that's fine. We'll have this conversation next spring when it feels like he's already in the lead to be Ohio State starting quarterback in 2025. But if he continues to progress down this way and it gets to the point at any moment, whether that be in fall camp, whether that be after the first three games until you go into a bye week, maybe that's after the Oregon game, maybe it's when you're preparing for the college football playoff, who knows? But at some point, maybe Julian Sand has gotten to the point where you think he's your best option to win while it also solidifies your quarterback position for the next 3 years. I'm just more open to it than maybe I was before we talked with Ryan Day on Monday, and he didn't necessarily cool down any flames people were having about what was potentially possible with Julian Sand. A couple other quarterback ones from the 386. I'm getting concerned. Will Howard was brought here to be a starter, and it just doesn't sit right with me that he's not the clear cut by now. It just feels like the same scenario from last year. I think part of the reason why I understand why you feel that way is because the last time Ohio State brought a transfer quarterback in, it was kind of his job from day one. And really, outside of Trey Sermon, most of the transfers they've brought in across the board have been guys who have come in here and immediately taken a job. Well, you're talking about Tanner McAllister. Trey Sermon kind of went back and forth with Master Teague there for a while, but Jonah Jackson in 2019 as well. I mentioned McAllister already in that situation. It feels like, well, Seth McLaughlin is kind of in the same situation. He hasn't completely solidified himself as Ohio State starting center yet. Carson Hinsman is still getting, opportunities with the ones right now. But Caleb Downs has come in, and it's very clear that he's going to be a starter for this team. But Will Kaczmarek, Will Howard, and Seth McLaughlin, those guys were brought in as transfers. And all three of those guys still feel like they're in battles with guys who were already on the roster. But I think with Will Howard specifically, you can't use the Justin Fields example here because, one, Justin Fields was a better talent. He was a younger talent. And he was also coming into a room that didn't have a former top 50 recruit as a third-year guy, a top 150 recruit as a second-year guy, and two five-star freshmen. That's just not the room Justin Fields was entering. He was entering a room that had just lost Dwayne Haskins, and Tate Martell had entered the transfer portal. And so you had Matthew Baldwin, who was coming off a year of injury, and you had Chris Chuganoff, and then another guy coming in later. But it just wasn't the same room. So no one was worried about, hey, when is Justin going to win the job? It was more like, hey, Ryan Day, how come you haven't come out and said this is Justin Fields' job yet? And Ryan Day having to go, just because the competition isn't necessarily as fierce doesn't mean he doesn't have to go earn this job. But also, I've brought this up a couple of times. Justin Fields did not look good in that spring game, if you remember, in 2019. He was 4 of 13, and I think he had about 114 yards, and 98 of them came on a 98-yard pass to Benjamin Victor on a moment that was clearly like, let's get a highlight going. I don't even think it was a scholarship player who was covering Benjamin Victor on that play. So it takes time. I understand what you're saying. I think what you're trying to get at, and I think, and if I'm wrong, please let me know, 614-350-3315-386. So I think it's a valid point here. And I've wondered this. If Devin Brown doesn't get hurt in the Cotton Bowl and he's able to showcase some things, does Ryan Day feel the need to go get another quarterback out of the transfer portal? But we don't know the answer to that. That's an if and it's a hypothetical. Because we didn't get to see that, Day did what was the most responsible thing there, which was the logical thing as well. You have to go get a transfer quarterback because you can't find yourself in a situation where you were last year where you don't know about your options and you get to the end of the season and you're not quite sure if you have the guy on your roster to get you over the top there. The problem is you did the responsible thing and now maybe Will Howard isn't the guy for the job. Maybe Devin Brown has taken some leaps and bounds this year and showed you some things that let you know he was always on the right developmental track. He just needed to get healthy. But also, he's got a track record of injury, so you have to build that into this conversation. You weren't expecting Nick Saban to retire, and all of a sudden, the number one quarterback in the country is back on the market. So now, this puts you in a situation where I think Ryan Day might have the best problem you want to have as any position, any position coach or any head coach want to have. You have options. And I think he's relishing those options. I think he's understanding that. Last year, a couple of times really in his career, you remember Justin Fields was hurt at the end of the 2019 season. You remember he got knocked out of the Sugar Bowl in 2020 with a rib injury. Now you have a room where if something happens to your starting quarterback, you feel comfortable about what your number two is and the way Julian Sands playing and the way that maybe Lincoln Kinos might be progressing. You might even be comfortable with what you have as your number three quarterback. Now, and that's worst case scenario, obviously, but I don't think Ohio State is necessarily in the same situation it was when it brought in Justin Fields, where it was Justin Fields or bust. And so, but also, this is going to take some time. So I don't, if Will Howard doesn't look like a world beater on Saturday, I don't think it's the end of the world. If Devin Brown does look like a world beater on Saturday, I don't think it's the end of the world either. I don't think either one of those mean that a starting quarterback is going to be decided on Saturday. I think what we're seeing is less of a indictment on Will Howard and his ability to quickly pick up this offense, and more to the compliment of a healthy Devin Brown, and more to the compliment of a talented young Julian Sand flashing some things that's giving Ohio State what it would always want. That's options at quarterback. Couple more quarterback things, and then we'll take a quick break. From the 216, yes, QB battle is certainly at the top of my list. Highlight the big games and what you think the battle will be in order to win. And then from the 717, to wrap up the quarterback conversation. I know this is kind of a downer, but what QBs do you think will transfer? It is kind of inevitable, and I'm thinking Keenholz or maybe Brown may leave before the season. I mean, why would Howard come in without being guaranteed the starting job? I think there's going to be some interesting conversations at the end of the spring. The portal opens up next week, right after the spring, like 48 hours after the spring game ends. I think there's going to be some interesting conversations, and I think there were always going to be interesting conversations when you have five scholarship quarterbacks in the room. I don't think Will Howard was guaranteed the starting job when he decided to come here. I thought it was probably the likely choice that we would all say that a guy who has been a starter for multiple years at a Power 5 program that you brought in because you didn't necessarily feel all that confident about your options would probably be the favorite to start, but it doesn't mean it's a guarantee. I think Lincoln Kinos is in an interesting spot in his career because he was brought in with the understanding that this was always maybe a long-term development thing with him, so maybe he still bought into that idea. And Devin Brown, whether it's in front of the cameras or just you're having conversations with the kid, he has always stood firm on the fact that he's not going anywhere. So maybe they do get to the fall and all five quarterbacks are on the roster. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they lose one. Maybe they lose two. Maybe it's all on the table here. I said this before spring practice started, and I'll say it now. It's just there are going to have to be a lot of conversations, real conversations about where guys are in the hierarchy of things. Because you have five scholarship quarterbacks, and you only have one quarterback who can play. Maybe a second, depending on how you want to use guys. We're going to take a quick break there. That'll wrap up the quarterback stuff. We're going to come back from Buckeye Talk and here on Buckeye Talk and talk about Jeremiah Smith, talk some offensive line stuff, and much more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back here on Buckeye Talk. It's a rant pod ahead of Ohio State's spring game at noon inside Ohio Stadium on Fox. The first nationally televised spring game, I think, in ever for college football. And obviously Michigan will follow that up next week. Get the text 614-350-3315. We talked a lot of quarterback stuff. We're going to get into some non-quarterback stuff as well. From the 419, what do they want to see on Saturday? Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith. And Jeremiah Smith is all I want to see on Saturday. I think Jeremiah Smith, the problem is the cat's already out of the bag. It's so far gone. The last time a true freshman was maybe hyped like this, it still even wasn't at this level. It was just the idea of five-star freshman who could do something in year one was Garrett Wilson, and that was coming off of a year where Clemson had just won the national title, and they did it with a freshman receiver who was making plays in the college football playoff. And we were asking Garrett questions like, hey, do you think you can do that as a true freshman? And he's like, yeah, I think I can do that as a true freshman. But it was like a slow burn throughout the preseason. He lost his black stripe in the spring. He was the first freshman to do so. Zach Harrison followed up not long after that. But back then, it was almost a bigger deal to lose it in the spring because not as many people had done it. I think Austin Mack had maybe done it and a couple of other guys had done it. But it still wasn't. It was still this new thing to lose it that early. So the fact that Garrett Wilson had done it was a big deal, and it was an indicator of things. And then you get to the spring game, and he's making plays, and it's like, oh, this dude's going to be a future star here. But it was nothing to the level of this where it feels like the cat's already out of the bag, right? Jeremiah Smith has lost his black stripe quicker than literally any other player in the history of the program since Urban Meyer introduced the tradition when he came here in 2012 of removing the black stripe. Ohio State has gone out of its way to showcase some of the stuff he's done, whether it was a crazy catch he had during the Student Appreciation Day practice or something he had during a closed practice where I'm not even really sure he caught it, but though to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure Devin Brown threw him that ball. And then Ryan Day is trying his hardest to not be hyperbolic about this guy. And on down the list, all the coaches are doing it, and the players are doing it as well. It feels like this time around, it's not so much everybody going, oh, this guy might be really good, and then the world gets to see it. And it's like, oh, man, he flashed. I think this time around, everybody's just kind of waiting to see Jeremiah Smith do some crazy stuff on Saturday, and I'm sure he's going to do it. I am quite positive Ohio State is going to maximize making sure that Jeremiah Smith gets to put on a show on Saturday. If we don't make bold predictions for the spring game, but if we did, I would put Jeremiah Smith's catch total maybe at 7 or 8 catches, maybe 2 touchdowns, and maybe like 185 yards. And it's not because he just dominated today. I think they're just going to target him a bunch. I think there's going to be a bunch of opportunities on Saturday where it's just go ball. And maybe Aaron Scott's covering him on this play. Maybe it's Denzel Burke covering him on this play. Maybe it's Jermaine Matthews on this play. Calvin Simpson-Hunt, David Igbinosin, who knows? But it's just, there's an entertainment value to the spring game. I think we can all agree on that. And who can provide that more than the five-star, true freshman, might be the best wide receiver prospect of the last decade who you're already seeing bits and pieces from and hearing stuff about how crazy he's been in practice for the last 4 months. And now you get to see it in Ohio Stadium with 100,000 people there? Yeah, they're going to make sure he puts on a show. And I think what's possible for him in terms of how we've been talking about him, we've already, that train's left the station. I don't even think anybody should drop the bus from him this year because it's not really coming out of nowhere. The stock is already too high. But the spring game is about the fans as much as it is about the finality of spring football. And so I'm just expecting them to try to use Jeremiah Smith to put on as much of a show as possible to give the fans some stuff. So some offensive line stuff. Todd from the 5-6-1. Sounds like Josh Simmons and Josh Fryer are way better. The offensive line is really the only question as to why we don't win the Natty. If true, should they just hand out the trophy after we beat Akron 77-7 or give us a bye to the title game? I think that's funny. From the 303, I want to see first team offensive line going up against the first team defensive line with real play so we can see if the offensive line needs portal help. From the 586, I am curious about Tegra Shibola and Josh Fryer at right tackle. On defense, how do they rotate Sonny Styles and CJ Hicks? Also, how Mitchell Melton looks after the injuries. From Bill in Salem, Massachusetts, I want to see some O-line pancakes. Signs that this line is coming together. Cullen in Boston. Shout out to the Massachusetts Texans, man. Shout out to y'all. What I want is nearly impossible for a spring game. Somehow, I want to be excited by the offensive and defensive lines. Unfortunately, since it's a scrimmage, I feel like I will inevitably be disappointed in one group. Not a want, but a need from the 573. The offensive line has to look like they can stop a defensive line. Not the ones they see on Saturday. But they have to have improved. I think what you want to see is a healthy back and forth. And I'm good. Let's use the wide receivers, cornerbacks as an example from this. Back in 2021, you're going through a quarterback battle. You think you've got a pretty decent offensive line. There's so many questions about Ohio State secondary. And it felt like you left the spring game in 2021 going, man, Ohio State's got every weapon you could possibly think of. Whoever wins the starting quarterback job is going to have an embarrassment of riches. And you almost forgot for a second, oh yeah, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Ibuka, Julian Fleming, Jaden Ballard, and on down the list, spent Saturday afternoon kicking the cornerbacks' butts. Right? And that's not true anymore. Jim Knowles has talked about this at length, and I think we've even asked guys about this year, about how that competition has grown over the last couple of years here, where it's gone from, hey, it's okay that you just got your butt whipped on this snap. It's Marvin Harrison. It's Emeka Ibuka. It's Jackson Smith the Jigba. That's supposed to happen. You're not going to get that against anybody else you play on the regular season schedule because no one has the wide receiver room that Ohio State has. That's still true, but it doesn't make it acceptable. And what we've seen is one, guys get healthy. Two, the recruiting under Tim Walton just take off like a rocket ship. And so now what you get is a real competition. Sure, there's moments where Jeremiah Smith is catching a ball over Caleb Downs and Denzel Burke. But there's also plenty of times when Denzel Burke wins those reps. There's also plenty of times when Jermaine Matthews and Davison Igbinosin and Jordan Hancock and on down the list are winning reps. There's a healthy back and forth there to win. On Saturday, if there's one play where Carnell Tate mosses Davison Igbinosin, the next play, Davison Igbinosin just might strap up Carnell Tate. It's a healthy back and forth where you walk out of that day feeling like we have the best wide receiver room in the country. We also might have the best cornerback room in the country, or at least one of the best cornerback rooms in the country, so you can live with it. I think you want to see the offensive line and defensive line get there. It's great that Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau are wrecking things. But you want to see them do that on Saturdays in the fall, not on Saturdays in April. If Ohio State's offensive line can challenge those guys, and it won't be Jack and JT that much. I'm not expecting those guys to play, but Kenyatta Jackson's pretty good. Caden Curry's pretty good. Mitchell Melton's pretty decent. Edric Houston's a five-star. You know, Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton might not do much, but Jason Moore looks like he might be a dude. Caden McDonald might be a dude. Taiwan Malone looks pretty good as well. And Hiro Kanu flashed a lot last year. If it feels like it's a healthy back and forth, I think that's how you can walk away feeling confident about what you have. Because you know how good the defensive line is. So if the offensive line is creating a back and forth, then you're confident in what you have in your offensive line. I also agree with the 303 point of, we've asked Ryan Day this a couple of times now this spring about, does he feel confident that at the bare minimum, the options that he has on the roster in the offensive line room, the answer is already there, or do they feel like they're going to have to go into the transfer portal like they did last year and find another Joshua Simmons? I think at times he said yes, but then when we talked with him on Monday, he said we're going to have to look at everything, and they are. When we're in there, when we're in the shoe on Friday and we're watching practice and we're seeing Carson Hinsman getting repped at guard, we're seeing Luke Montgomery getting reps at guard, you're hearing that Josh Fryer's still getting some reps at guard just for the sake of, you know, emergency situations. Tegra Shibola is still repping at guard. It feels, it, to be completely real with you, what it feels like is your left tackle is Joshua Simmons, your left guard is Donovan Jackson, your right tackle is Josh Fryer. I feel pretty confident putting that left side especially in pin, and then that right side maybe in pencil. And then maybe something clicks with Seth McLaughlin over the summer where he finally locks in and he locks down that center job. So the question is, between Carson Hinsman, Luke Montgomery, Tegra Shibola, are one of those guys going to take a jump this year and you feel like they're going to be your starting right guard? Or does Ohio State have to go find a right guard in the transfer portal window for after the spring? A couple other football things before we take our final break here. Back to our guy, Anthony from Findlay. I told you, Anthony, we're touching on all yours, man. You sent three things. We're going to touch on all three things. I still have a little bit of faith that I'm clinging on to in Jaden Ballard. I want to see him put it all together. I want to see at least one big breakaway play from him. Even if he ends up transferring somewhere else, I want to see him put his speed on film. I still believe he can bring a different dynamic to this offense. And his third thing, I want to see what running back depth looks like behind Henderson and Judkins. I'm excited to see the two freshmen. I've heard good things about both of them. Obviously, Dallin Hayden is expecting to enter the transfer portal next week when it opens. That was reported this week. I don't think I saw him at practice on Friday, so maybe he's already, you know, not participating in Ohio State things now that that news is out there. So because of that, we did get to see a lot of James Peoples working with the threes as a third running back. I'm interested to just see him fly because he's going to get a lot of reps on Saturday, because I am not, I'm not expecting Trayvon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins to play past maybe two series, because I would put them in that category of guys who they've played more than 1,000 snaps in their careers, and we know what they are, and we know they're going to be the starters this year. So James Peoples, Sam Williams-Dixon, T.C. Caffey, I'm expecting those guys to get a boatload. And can they just flash, right? This is, and the spring game can often turn into a place where a running back can really flash, maybe more than other positions, just because they're so involved. There's going to be a lot of checkdowns. We'll see wheel routes. Obviously, they'll be in the run game. They'll be semi-full tackle. I mean, they're not going to be out there, you know, hit-sticking folk, obviously, but it's going to be enough of a tackle where you can see, are they able to break off some tackles and make some plays? I am interested to see those guys, because Quinshon and Travion are your 1A and 1B, but you got to get through a season, and the past couple of years have shown us the number three running back at Ohio State can have a realistic role in the offense. So if James Peoples can show you some things in the spring game and continue that on into the summer months and then into the fall months and make you feel comfortable and solidified in what you have there at your number three, that's a good thing. Can James Peoples be as good in 2024 as a true freshman as Dallin Hayden was as a true freshman in 2022, when he had 111 carries for 553 yards? That's 5 yards per attempt and 5 touchdowns. That's a lot of fives. Can he do that? I think he can do that. And I think that would solidify Ohio State's third running back spot, though I do think they'll probably go into the portal and look for a guy just for the sake of, you know, depth in that room. From the 210, the obvious answer is I want to see the quarterbacks making plays, routine or not. But honestly, let's have a play where Caleb Downs gets in wildcat formation. Now that would be pretty sick. Love it. Love it. Right? You know, do some fun stuff. They're probably not going to do any fun stuff. It's probably going to be very vanilla. But I'm for it, man. Why not? Listen, Jack Sawyer played quarterback in high school his senior year at Pinkerton North. Let him go back there and do some quarterback stuff. Let's make this fun. Let's have some fun with the spring game here. From the 740, I want you to see how transfers and possible non-starters play and what Chip Kelly is going to bring to the offense. Oh, yeah. No soft batch cookies. LOL. Shout out to Carlos Lachlan for the soft batch cookies reference there. I mean, the spring game has essentially turned into what the Hall of Fame game is in football, in the NFL, where a lot of the starters don't really play much. A lot of them don't even dress most of the time, but they'll at least dress here. But it is kind of a backup showcase, right? You're talking about true freshmen like Aaron Scott and Edric Houston and, you know, Bryce West and Malik Harford maybe won't do much, but Jaden Bantu as a second-year guy, what can he show off? Luke Montgomery, can Jelani Thurman flash some things that lets you know he's on the right track from a development standpoint? Julian Sand and Aaron Nolan, can they flash what their upside is? You know, Kojo Antwi, Keon Graves, Brandon, this won't be participating, but Bryson Rogers, who I think's had a really good spring camp, can he flash some things on down the board there? Gabe Powers, CJ Hicks, Arvell Reese. I can go on and on. This is the day for that. This is the day to see a lot of these younger guys who are deeper on the depth chart who can maybe flash some things and put a punctuation on what might have been a pretty quality spring while also building on that momentum heading into the summer. From Harry in the 484, that's from Philly. For the spring game, I want to see the offense and defense go full out for at least 30 minutes and no holding back. I want to see Kelly and Knowles go head-to-head and toe-to-toe and calling all plays with Ryan Day sitting back and observing as a CEO as he should be. All quarterbacks should be given the opportunity to at least take some snaps with the ones. I still don't believe Devin Brown has the potential to be this true starter for the Buckeyes. We'll see on that last part, but so how this is going to work is going to be offense versus defense, with offense scoring is going to be a little bit more traditional, you know, score touchdowns, field goals, whatnot. For defense, if the defense scores at 6 points, any turnover, any takeaway is 3 points. Any three and out is worth 3 points. Sacks are worth 2 points. And any punt is worth 1 point. I would expect from a quarterback perspective, everybody to get a chance to roll with the ones at least once or twice. That was what was happening on Friday. Even Aaron Nolan, everybody was rolling with the one, so I would expect that to continue. I don't think from that standpoint it's going to really matter who is out there with who. There might be times when you see Will Howard out there and the wide receivers or like the three wide receivers. There might be times when you look out there, Julian Sand or Aaron Nolan's with the ones or somebody's with the twos. I just think they're going to roll guys in that situation. As far as the Jim Knowles and Chip Kelly going head-to-head, I mean, I would love to see that, but I don't think we're going to see that at full gauge the way that maybe we got a chance to see it at the Student Appreciation Day practice when it felt like Jim Knowles was holding it nothing back. Like he was blitzing CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles religiously during that practice, and CJ and Sonny were kind of getting after it. I don't think we'll see a lot of that since this is a nationally televised thing, and they'll maybe keep it more basic, and we'll see a lot more base. Maybe they send a couple of blitzes because, you know, this is still football. He's not going to just not do certain things. But I would not expect to see full-on go Jim Knowles bringing his best play call into the table, Chip Kelly bringing his best play call into the table, you know, championship-level competitiveness from those two in a situation and an environment like this. It would be great to see, though, those two go up head-to-head against each other. And to your point, Ryan Day just sitting back being the CEO and just kind of overseeing everything. I think that would be a cool thing to see if they actually went down that road. We'll wrap up here and then take our last break. Mike Jackson in Toledo. Excited to see some of the new guys like Quinshon and Jeremiah. Also excited to see some young guys like CJ Hicks and defensive linemen like Hero Canoe. Really interested to see how Sonny Styles looks at linebacker. I want to see Sonny Styles look comfortable back there at linebacker, and I want to see CJ Hicks just make plays. It seems like he's starting to put it together and have that consistency that it's felt like was the thing that was holding him back at times over the last couple of years. But also, the context there is he was a top 10 recruit But also, it's not like he was a top 10 recruit who was also playing at IMG. You know, he was playing down in Dayton and playing in a role where, hey, CJ Hicks, can you just be our best player? Which meant play safety, play linebacker, be an edge rusher, be a punt returner, be a running back, be a wide receiver, be a quarterback at times. He did everything. And so he had never really been asked to just learn how to play linebacker until he got to college. And so now that he's gone through that process over the last 2 years, you mix that with the upside he's always had. Can he flash on Saturday, and can he continue to build on that? And then we get to the season, and it's like, oh, Ohio State has one of the best linebacking corps in the country still because CJ Hicks has finally taken that step. Sonny Styles looks comfortable. Gabe Powers has taken some steps. Arvell Reese has been flashing as well, and you mix that with what Cody Simon brings to the table. We're going to take one last break here, and then we're going to get into some non-football stuff that people want to see. Well, I wouldn't say non-football stuff, more just not necessarily traditional on-the-field football stuff that people might want to see in the spring game on Saturday here on Buckeye Talk. From the 419, I know this isn't going to happen, but I sure miss Urban Meyer's spring games. They always seemed a bit more lively. I remember a throwing competition that featured JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, and I think they brought in Troy Smith to participate. Also, I believe they had player foot races. That's what I love to see. Yes! That's what I was getting at earlier this week when I hinted at some things I want to see. This is supposed to be fun, right? It's supposed to be the grand revealing. Well, not grand revealing, but the first look that fans get to see at their team. But also, you know, it doesn't have to be serious football stuff all the time. Yes! We want to know what's going on with the quarterbacks. Yes! We want to know what's going on with the offensive line. Yes, we want to know what's going on with the linebackers and with the depth at different spots. And look how cool Jeremiah Smith is. And look how cool Caleb Downs looks in the Ohio State football uniform. And everything else, yes. What Chip Kelly's offense could look like. What Jim Knowles looks like in year three. All these things, yes, they're important. And they matter because it's going to determine whether or not Ohio State can beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, and win the college football playoff in a year where it's moving to 12 teams. All of that stuff matters. But it's April 13th. None of that can get decided on April 13th. But what can be decided is it's supposed to be nice and sunny. It's going to be noon, clear skies. Let's have some fun with this. Bring back the days when Ezekiel Elliott and Braxton Miller are racing Brutus. Bring back the throwing competitions. Bring back... don't bring back circle drill because we've moved past that. But bring back those elements of things. Bring back 2019 when Drew Chrisman used a field goal as a way to propose to his girlfriend, now wife. Bring back that stuff. Those cool moments that have nothing to do with whether or not Ohio State can win a national championship or not. But it's just cool and it's fun and it's like a little moment on social media that people can wrap their heads around. You know, like that stuff is fun. Bring back that stuff. It doesn't have to be this like, oh, it's just 15th practice. Let's not get everybody hurt. Let's showcase a couple things and let everybody move on with their day. No, let's make this a show. Let's make it entertainment. From the 513, I would love to see sideshow stuff return like the fastest Buckeyes versus a couple regular students or the longest throw and maybe a kick competition and even involve a student or two in that. Could even do a tug of war between the offensive line and defensive line. Also, pregame, use both sides of the field and have all the QBs doing 7-on-7. Love it! Cody Buckeye, don't be too vanilla. I know it's a scrimmage, but it's live, and there's a different mode when the cameras are rolling and the fans are cheering. A lot of folks say spring games are meaningless, but I think you can definitely find a dog when you make it a game day experience. Shoot a firework or two. Playbook is deep enough, and it won't ruin the season. Yes! That's what I mean by don't be too vanilla. Let's have some fun with this. Let's send the fans home with something of like, yo, I was at the spring game, and randomly in the second quarter, They just pulled out a tug of war, and it was JT, Jack, Ty Leek, and Ty Hamilton against Donovan Jackson, Joshua Simmons, Seth McLaughlin, Josh Fryer, Luke Montgomery. You know, like pull out that stuff. Yo, Jaden Ballard and Calvin Simpson-Hunt think they're the two fastest players on this team, and everybody else thinks the two. So we had them both run a 20-yard dash, and somebody won, right? Yo, we brought down a couple of students to see if any of them could throw a ball further than what Devin Brown or Will Howard can throw the ball. Probably not, but it's fun. Let's have fun with this. Let's do real football things for 30 minutes. Fair. After that, let's bring back the fan interaction that should come with the spring game. You get 12 games a year, and I think they have 8 home games this year. You get enough games during a year where it's only about football. The spring game doesn't have to only be about football. It can be about fan interaction and just doing fun stuff. So let's bring that stuff back, along with learning about these quarterbacks and learning about the offensive line and everything else. Because then you get some information about where your team is after 15 practices as they prepare for the 2024 regular season. But you had some fun because it was nice out and you paid $10 and it was free parking and you showed up to the spring game and it was fun stuff happening. Or maybe you didn't show up. Maybe you don't live in Ohio, so you don't get a chance to come. So you watched it on Fox. And you come back from a break, and Joe Klatt and Jenny Taff are talking about, yo, they just had a foot race between Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz. Yo, Lincoln Kienholz is punting because it's a competition to see who punts the furthest of the non-specialist. I want to see that stuff too because this is supposed to be fun. So let's bring back the fun because you can bring back the fun and still not have to worry about anybody getting hurt. That'll wrap up this Reds pod. Hopefully you guys agree with me. If you do, text me 614-350-3315. If you don't and you think it's stupid, text me still 614-350-3315. 2-week free trial, $3.99 after that. That'll wrap it up for this pod. Next time you hear from me, next time you hear from Nathan, next time you hear from Andrew will be after the spring game. As we wrap up that, and then I think Monday morning, Nathan and I will do a spring game rewatch. Well, it won't necessarily be about the fun. It'll just be about breaking down these quarterbacks and everything else we saw and where we think Ohio State's headed to as they enter the off season. Well, the summer months are already in the off season. So for me and for the textures, that was Buckeye Talk.